Interesting Items 1109. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Election. 2. Data. 3. Analysis. 4. Alaska. 5. Texas. 1. Election. Appears that President Trump was well on his way to a pretty decent win Tuesday night until the mail-in ballots and Democrat election fraud machine kicked in. Overnight Tuesday, counting in PA, ME, Y, GA, NV was halted. Trump went to bed with comfortable leads in all states and woke up behind and losing in all five. Here's where we sit today. Big tech and the media are conducting an info war with significant gaslighting against Trump and his supporters. Polling was part of this and did their part in suppressing or at least setting the stage for media to call the election for Biden. Even Biden's victory announcement Saturday was nicely timed and covered by the media to step on a Trump WH presser describing election fraud. For its part, big tech is expending a lot of energy taking down all attempts by Trump supporters to organize their opposition to the claimed result online. Facebook is particularly complicit in this. Twitter has been systematically taking down users who are analyzing the returns, posting contra conclusions, and disappearing them down the rabbit hole. Looks like the goal is to make sure no news of Trump opposition to the media call makes its way to the general public. One of the other little tricks has been to delay calls of Trump victories in states for hours to days and call states early for Biden. FNC's early call of Arizona for Biden was a particularly egregious example of this. The other thing has been the media holding Trump's electoral vote total at 214 for days while slowly easing Biden toward 270 as the ballot harvesting fraud continues apace. One of the reasons that GA has not been called for Trump yet is that Democrats, particularly in Fulton County, are doing their level best to force the two U.S. Senate races into runoffs in January, where they can turn the election fraud machine on once again. Flip the two GA Senate seats, and they move the Senate into a 50-50 tie, which puts Kamala Harris as the eternal tie-breaking vote for the Schumer agenda. Larry Correa, who is a conservative sci-fi writer used to be a forensic accountant, gave an extended description of red flags in the ballot harvesting going on. Title is NSFW, but he steps over everything really well. He updated and expanded it this morning. There are more red flags than at a Soviet, CCP or NORC parade. Well worth your read. Looks like what took place in NV was the use of Californians with homes in both states as proxies for falsified mail-in ballots. There are tens of thousands of these, more than enough to flip the state. Harry Reid's machine apparently has a list. Wisconsin told their election workers to alter absentee ballots, which invalidates them. These were all counted for Biden. Bottom line in this is that six Democrat blue cities are in the process of flipping six close states all by massive voting fraud: Milwaukee in Y, Detroit in ME, Philly and Pittsburgh in PA, Atlanta in GA, and Las Vegas in NV. Republicans did pretty good down ballot, where multiple Democrat attempts to flip state legislatures all failed. Better yet, in the House, they lost at least four seats so far, with another 35 still being counted. 18 of those have the Republican ahead. But wait, you say, if they can steal the presidency, why can't they steal the House? Great question. Because it appears they were panicked, thinking they would have a landslide victory right up until the point where they didn't. They then kicked in Plan B, which was massive fraud via mail-in ballots submitted at the last minute. In their haste to fill in those ballots for president, they didn't fill in any boxes for anything down ballot. As a result, the possibility exists that Republicans may pick up enough House seats to tie the House majority. It might even get better. As to the Senate, the count today sits at 50-48 Republican with the two Georgia seats still in play. McConnell might have an ace in the hole with the possibility of flipping Joe Manchin over the course of the next few weeks as a firewall. Even more weird is that Trump picked up more minority support than any Republican in 60 years. Indeed, he got more votes than Obama did in either election. The only group that stepped back a bit was among white men. As to Biden, we are asked to believe that he picked up more votes among blacks in the blue cities than Obama did in two solid elections, something that is beyond the bounds of possibility. Final comment on minorities comes via Scott Adams, who observed over the weekend that while Trump spent four solid years trying to work their problems, the black community clanged hard for Biden. If you bust your backside to take care of one group of Americans and they don't respond positively, why make any more attempts? Why not write them off? For their part, Blacks in the six blue cities are expressing concern that they will be blamed if the Democrat election theft is unsuccessful. Otto, Latinos responded positively and strongly to Trump's railing against socialism, particularly among Cubans and Venezuelans. 2. Data. When so many implausible things happen, all in one direction, the data dinks get themselves involved trying to prove not only what happened, but how it happened. Over the years, the people who ferret out this sort of stuff have gotten very good in what they are doing and run their analysis by the simple shape of the statistical distribution curves. An article by Himalaya Australia last week noted that Joe Biden's votes violate Benford's law, mathematics. Benford's law, aka the first digit law, is an observation about the frequency distribution of leading digits in real-life sets of numerical data. For instance, in datasets that obey the law, the number 1 is the leading significant digit around 30% of the time. 9 occurs less than 5% of the time. The other digits in order plot a decreasing curve. It turns out that election votes obey that law. A number of people have checked the precinct-by-precinct votes of the presidential candidates this year, including Trump, Biden, Kanye, and other third-party presidential candidates. Trump and all the third-party candidates all follow the Benford curve nicely. Biden's in many places, does not. In Milwaukee, Biden's curve is wildly abnormal. Also holds for Chicago and Allegheny, Pennsylvania. This sort of analysis is used in court to point to fiscal fraud, so the technique is admissible and regularly used. The smart guys are going to get to prove voting fraud to the satisfaction of the federal courts and state legislatures. 3. Analysis. Jason Whitlock in OutKick the Coverage wrote a piece late last week describing the election as a parable about love and hate. Sadly, in this case, hate, particularly personal hatred of Trump, appears to be winning. The only thing Biden had going for him was hatred of all things Trump, most of it personal. While Scott Adams points to the particular effectiveness of the fine people, Charlottesville, hoax created by and promulgated by the media as the most dangerous hoax, the injecting bleach hoax helped, as did the Atlantic hoax accusing Trump of calling military members losers. Add to this the incessant blame of Trump for all things Wuhan flu, COVID-19, and you have a toxic mix of hatred all stirred up and extended by the media. Note that none of this has anything to do with anything Trump has done as president or what Harris, Biden have promised to do either. As my lovely lady observed over the weekend, Trump being rejected for personality differences is simply sad, though it mirrors the Brits' rejection of Churchill in 1945. President Trump knew this was coming. He was ready for it. All the rest of us knew it was coming. Problem is what to do about it. He has assembled a pretty good legal team. Rick Grenell is in NV. Rudy Giuliani is in PA. Jay Sekulow and Pam Bondi are in me/Y, I don't know which one is which. Don't know who is in Oz or GA, but do know Sidney Powell is also involved. Looks like the game is to invalidate as many illegal ballots as possible and either flip the state outright or demonstrate sufficient illegal ballots to throw the state to the legislature. Should any, all of these cases get to the SCOTUS, I expect they will not take the bait like they did in Bush v. Gore and order a state Supreme Court to stop rewriting the law on the fly. Rather, I expect them to kick the whole mess back to the individual state legislatures which are charged with writing and changing election law for their action. Today Arizona, why, me and PA all have Republican legislatures. NV is all Democrat. MN is split. It is the state legislatures that select the slate of electors, not the courts, the governors or Democrat union members in five blue cities and the USPS as they go. To the best of my knowledge, this has not happened since at least 1876, when the election went to the House. Should it happen, the individual legislators are going to be in something of a pickle. If they do the right thing, they will be excoriated by the media and Democrats in their states. If they do the wrong thing, they will immediately terminate their political careers at the hands of Republicans who elected them to office. Can Trump do this? Yes. Will he? Unknown. Scott Adams has been wavering between 40-60% and 60-40% possibility of success for the last few days. There haven't been a lot of people make money betting against Trump. I won't even discuss what happens afterwards until this is all over on or before December 14th. Early indications are that FNC has committed professional seppuku with the political right. So has the rest of the media. Never-Trumpers are also politically dead. Republican insiders who think they can step into the vacuum will need to contend with the very real possibility that Trump is not going away anytime soon. So will big tech. This is what fighting back looks like. 4. Alaska. Elections here in Alaska are in a pause. Election night last Tuesday worked out really well. It was a good night for Republicans. Problem is that there were actually two elections in Alaska, last Tuesday and the one a couple months preceding last Tuesday, who did absentee ballots. There are just under 140,000 ballots yet to be counted. And the outcome of many close races depend on who voted when. The guess is that the absentees mirror the Republican split, at around 2-1 in reverse. Election day votes went around 2-1 Republican. Absentees are expected to be in the same neighborhood 2-1 Democrat. This puts perhaps 5 newly elected Republican legislators at risk of losing. A couple of them have foolishly been celebrating a bit too much and too early. Dan Sullivan and Don Young should win re-election to the Senate and House. Ballot Initiative 1 should also fail. Unfortunately, the rewrite of election law ballot initiative may very well pass. Counts of absentees should take place later this week as scheduled. 5. Texas. A caller to Limbaugh last week was distraught over what she described as a massive Democrat sweep of judicial elections in Texas. She views it as a preparatory step in flipping the Texas legislature and Texas in turn. As it turns out, Ballotpedia has a little better bit of news about Texas judicial elections. Republicans won all 4 state Supreme Court seats and all 3 state Court of Criminal Appeals elections. I did not drill down into either county or trial court judges. From here it looks like it was a decent day in Texas for our side of the House. Unfortunately, all is not all that well. American Thinker ran a piece this morning about a Spanish company named Site that provides electronic voting systems. These may be particularly vulnerable to electronic manipulation. The company has Soros and Democrat Party connections. Microsoft's Paul Allen invested $40 million in Site. The company runs an unsecured system that was used in a reported 2018 blue takeover of Dallas County. The same anomaly showed up in a Kentucky county in 2019. The American Thinker writer believes this demonstrates 2 test runs for abuse of this system. One of the outcomes of the current festivities is going to be a real close review of electronic election systems and their software. More later. AG. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.